Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples approached Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord taught them. He gave them a structure, a template, a paradigm to help the disciples and to help the entire church to learn how to address God. And if you look back at Lord's Day 46, you'll be reminded of how the Catechism has confessed Scripture teaching about how we address God, how we come to Him in prayer with childlike reverence and trust. We're not praying to some kind of a blessing and curse dispenser, an impersonal machine in the sky. We are not praying to some kind of a God who is pure will, who only decrees and commands and cannot love. We are coming to our Father, and we know that He loves us. We know He will hear us. We know that He knows us. And so we come to Him with a profound appreciation, not only of the intimate relationship we have with Him as His children in Christ, but also a profound appreciation for His heavenly majesty and power, that the Father who loves us is God Almighty. Nothing is impossible for Him. And so, to this God, the Father Almighty, we address our prayer. And the Lord Jesus teaches us to start with the first petition, hallowed be your name. Now, the word hallowed is a very old word. It's a word which we hardly ever use anywhere in the English language. Probably the only other time that you would take this word in some form upon your lips is around the end of October when there's Halloween. And Halloween is an abbreviation for All Hallows Evening. And Hallow there just means saints. So it's All Saints Evening, the Eve of the Holy Ones. So that's what Hallow means. It means holy. Now, we understand if we look at the catechism that's right in front of us that hallowing has to do with, look at the first words there, sanctifying and glorifying and praising. Hallowing is to make something holy, to set it apart, to not treat it as common. So the holy instruments used in the temple to take out the ashes from under the altar, they couldn't be used by the grandchildren of the high priest to go play at the seaside or play in the mud, because these instruments were holy. They were set aside for worship and for honor of God. And so what we're doing in this petition, we're saying, Lord, let us so treat your name as totally apart, totally exalted, totally consecrated to your glory, to your worship, and to your honor. Help us do that, Lord. Now, why does the church keep using the word hallowed if we hardly ever use it anywhere else in the English language in the year 2024? It's interesting that even the New International Version, which is a very modern version, keeps the word hallow in the Lord's Prayer, in the translation. Why is that? Well, because the church has been using this prayer for 2,000 years. And in English, the word hallow in the first petition has been used for almost 650 years. It was first used by Wycliffe when he translated the scriptures into English in the 1300s. And so for more than half a millennium, this word has been familiar to God's church in the English-speaking world. It is so familiar, it is so deeply in our hearts that the church has been reluctant to change it. Doesn't mean to say we can't change it, but it's a pretty familiar and much loved translation of the Lord's Prayer. And so the Lord teaches us to pray, hallowed be your name. And as we go through the catechism here and as we go through Scripture's teaching, we have to remember what we're doing in this section of the catechism. And I don't know about other pastors, but I know that myself, I often start to get caught up in the consequences of the teaching and to start talking about what we do and how we live. But we really need to focus in this last section of the catechism on how we pray. And so if in this sermon or in the coming sermons on prayer, if I do start deviating from that focus, just let me know, because we have to focus on how to pray. That's what the Lord Jesus is teaching us in this prayer. That's what the church wants to set before us. So what does it mean to pray, hallowed be your name? What does it mean to start a prayer with that desire, with that petition? It means grant, first of all, that we may rightly know you, that we might know you. That God is very, very big on the radar of our life. That God is first. Now, if you turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, the Holy Spirit reminds us that there's a lot of stuff that we can have on our radar. There's a lot of stuff that we can have in front of us as the most important thing. Jeremiah 9, 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. These are things that people do. I've got, I don't know how many letters behind my name, says the one. Wow, am I so intelligent? I'm really proud of myself. And God says, well, that's good, but that's not the main thing. Another one says, well, I've been working out at the gym and I'm really ripped and I'm really strong. I'm a real man. And God says, well, that's very nice, but that's not the main thing. And another says, man, I have had a successful career and I'm doing really well and I'm prosperous. That feels good. And God says, well, that may be a blessing, at least in some cases, but that's not the main thing. Look at verse 24. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. There's nothing greater. You're the richest and most powerful and most educated person in the world, but if you do not know God, what does it profit a man that he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. That is the greatest desire, children, the greatest desire of your parents' hearts, that you would know the Lord. Yes, you need to study hard and you need to get educated to praise God. You need to grow in wisdom. You should work on having a healthy body, and it's good to learn how to do all kinds of sports and to work out and be strong and healthy. Praise God for that. It's good to work hard and gather little by little and to even be blessed with prosperity. That's good. But the main thing that God wants for you, the main thing that your parents want for you, is that you would know the Lord, that you would know him. Because when you know him, then you love him. And so that's what God is telling us. That's what the Lord Jesus is telling us to pray for. Lord, don't let me go around in my life saying, wow, look how awesome I am. But let me, oh God, live my life in such a way that I'm always saying, wow, what an awesome God you are. You, oh Lord, are my heart's desire. You are what I long for. I want to know you, that you are a God of steadfast love, that you are a God of justice, that you are a God of righteousness in the earth. And the more I know you, the more I love you, and the more I want to lift up your name to worship you because of who you are. And that is eternal life, isn't it? Didn't we read that in John chapter 17? The Lord Jesus told us that's eternal life. To know God, that is eternal life. There's nothing better. Because to know God, to know God's name is to know who he is. To glorify God's name is to glorify him. To declare his name is to declare him. To be kept in his name is to be kept in him. To be taught to know his name is to be taught to know him. And all of those phrases I just used come through in that chapter 17 that we read together. We know him as he reveals himself, for instance, to Moses as a God of almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. We know him in his self-revelation, in his word, and we also know him as he reveals himself in what he does, in his works. Now remember, we're learning to pray. And so what the Lord Jesus is teaching us is that we need to tell God that we want to know him better so we can worship him more. We want to know the glory of his person. We want to know the glory of his works so that we can exalt his name. And so when we're praying, hallowed be your name, what we're praying for, amongst other things, is this. We're saying, Lord, let me know you better. And how are you going to know, how are you going to get to know God better? Well, you know him in the scriptures. That's his revelation to you of who he is and what he's done. And so, hallowed be your name is a prayer. God, give me more desire to study the scripture, to read the scripture, to memorize the scripture, to meditate on the scripture, to hear the scripture preached. Because I want to know you more, God, so that I can glorify you more, so that I can worship you more. And not just the book of scripture, Lord, but also that I might see you and know you in all your works, so that other book, the book of creation, that most beautiful book of the universe that you've created, that you preserve, and that you govern. And in that book, O Lord, all creatures, great and small, are like so many letters leading us to perceive your invisible attributes, namely your eternal power and divine nature. And so this prayer, brothers and sisters, asks God for open eyes. Let me see your glory, God. Let me see your glory in the rhythm of the seasons. Let me see your glory as the Holy Spirit refreshes the face of the ground in the spring. Let the scientist looking in his microscope say, let me see your glory in the complex elegance of the cell, in the amazing yet predictable reactions of different chemicals. Let the student in math class say, let me see your glory in the elegance and the beauty of mathematics, the language of God, which is basically the code that the universe is written in. Let the mother, delighting in warm spring sunshine, freshly baked bread, hot tea, and good conversation with a godly friend, see the glory of God in those things. Let us see the glory of God in the gurgling laugh of a tiny little baby, the overwhelming cuteness of a little baby animal, the faithfulness of a loyal pet, the comfort of a hug from a loved one, the satisfaction of receiving a paycheck for a job well done. This is God. In all of these good things, brothers and sisters, this is from God. And what we're asking for in this petition is, Lord, let me see your glory in all things. It is certainly in your righteousness, your mercy, your truth, your redemption, your forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But it's not limited to that. It is everywhere. I see your glory everywhere. And so this prayer is a prayer that we would not be dull, that we would not be blind, that we would not be like a trumpet which makes no sound or a cello with half the strings missing, because we want to know God, who he is and what he's done in Christ, and then knowing him, we want to praise him. And so what we're asking is, let me see your almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth shine forth in all your works. And let that incite me to worship, to glorify you and to praise you. Now, what are these works of God? Well, they are everything. We've mentioned a whole bunch of them already. They are his work of creation in Christ, his building of the universe as a theater for his glory. It is his word revealed to us in Christ and for Christ. It is his redemptive acts in Christ. It is his providence, his governing of the universe. It is his answers to prayer. It is healing granted. It is help given. It doesn't matter what it is. Take any aspect of life, any aspect of reality, and it is possible and necessary to break out into praise and worship, to exalt the name. We need to teach our children that kind of a sense of wonder and glory, brothers and sisters. We need to teach our children to get outside, to touch grass, to see the real world. We need to teach our children to see the fingerprints of God so that they can see who he is and what he has done, what he is doing. And they can worship him. They can exalt his name. That's one of the main reasons we educate our children. And that's one of the main reasons why almost everybody in this building invests heavily and sacrificially in so many different ways to support Christian education and Reformed education. Because we want our children to be able to read so they can learn of the mighty acts of God in Jesus Christ. We want our children to be able to study the world and to learn all kinds of areas of knowledge so that they can see the glory of God and worship him in his creation. In every subject matter, in every detail of this beautiful world that we live in, it's a fallen world, it's a groaning world. We talked about that this morning. But even the fall, even the groans, even the corruption, even the sin cannot hide the beauty, the majesty, and the glory of the Creator. And so what we're asking God for in this petition is to say, we're asking God, Lord, help me to see that you are good in all things. God is good in all things. Now, Paul puts it this way, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, stop and think about that for a second. That means, children, you come home from school and you ask your mom for a glass of juice, and as you're drinking that cup of juice or that glass of juice, God says, hey, I created you. I created the fruit from which this juice hopefully came. I created the glass and the materials that were put together and processed to make that glass. I created your mom who let you drink the juice. I created everything that's around you in the house and all the comfort that you have. And you can go on and on and on. This is from me. And God doesn't want us to toss back a glass of juice without thinking of him. Without worshiping him, without saying, God, you're amazing, you're good, you're loving, and I worship you. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And this petition says, Lord, can you help me do that? Because I need to grow in that area. I really do need to grow. Hallowed be your name. So we've looked at the first half here, grant us first of all. Now let's look at the second half of the answer. Grant us also that we may so direct our whole life that your name be always honored and praised. So Jesus is teaching us to pray for God's glory in everything and also at every time, in every moment. What does the psalmist say, Psalm 115? Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. And so what we're asking God for is help to do what we were created to do. We were created for one reason alone. That is to live to the glory of God. Isaiah 43, verse 7, God says about us, whom he formed and he made, we who are called by his name, who He created for his glory. That's what he says. He says it clearly, black and white. I made you, I formed you, I called you by my name for one reason. You are created for my glory. And this petition says, Lord, I can't do that. Because if you leave me alone, all I can do is sin. All I can do in my own strength is sin. And that's why I'm praying to you, Lord. Don't let sin prevail in my life. Don't let my life and my choices end up bringing shame on me, on my family, on my community, and on you. But take my life, O Lord, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. So that we can say not only God is good in everything, but we can also say God is good all the time. Have we suffered pain, loss? Do we stand at the grave of a loved one? What do? As children of God, in our tears, in our mourning, we worship. Job chapter 1, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. He just lost his whole family. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In his grief, in his pain, in his suffering, in his mourning, he lifts up the name of God. You can't do that unless the Spirit of God is inciting you and filling you and driving you. You can't do it without God. That's why we pray for that. Are you suffering persecution or injustice? God says, ask me for help to worship. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were beaten up. They were thrown in jail on trumped up charges. And what are they doing at midnight? They're still bleeding because they were beaten. They're locked up. Against all fairness and against all justice. What are they doing at midnight? They're praying and they're singing hymns to God. They're singing praise to God. You can't do that unless the power of the Spirit of God has taken a hold of you. Has God given you a special and unexpected calling which is going to turn your life upside down? Derail all of the plans maybe that you had and put you on a different path that he has set before you? What do? You worship. Think of our sister, Mary. And as a young girl, she learned of the special calling which God had for her. What was her response? My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She worshiped. If God sets us free and God gives us deliverance, what do? We worship. We hallow the name. We exalt the name. We glorify the name. That's what Moses and the people of Israel did when God brought them out of Egypt in Exodus 15. And they started singing, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God. I will praise him. My Father's God. And I will exalt him. Has God given us joy and success? What do? We worship, we exalt the name. James chapter 5, verse 13, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. This is not just in the time of the scriptures, brothers and sisters. This is throughout history. This is how God's people do things. In every time, in every circumstances, good and bad, we lift up the name. Because that's what we're here for. That's what we were created to do. In the 1600s, the Netherlands, which is such a tiny little country that it could fit multiple times in Alberta, but the Netherlands was a world power, a superpower. and it had a world-class navy, which in one of its many battles defeated the combined fleets of the English and the French. Now, this is the 1600s, just a few years after the Synod of Dort, and most of these sailors and these naval officers are some kind of reformed believer. They defeated two other world powers in one battle. They cleaned the decks. They assembled on the decks. They said it was the will of God. And they worshiped. They sang psalms. They didn't say, wow, we are so cool. We're so good. We did real good. No, they just worshiped God. And you see that today, brothers and sisters. This is how Christians act, right? You see a Christian athlete who has won some kind of a contest or won some kind of a tournament. And what do they often do? They point to the sky. What are they saying? To God be the glory. They worship. That's what Christians do. This is our life. A living sacrifice of thankfulness. A continual service of worship. Exalting the name in all things and at all times. This is what the psalmist is talking about when he says in Psalm 116, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. So what the Lord Jesus is teaching us here, brothers and sisters, is prayer for God to give us that mindset, for God to give us that perspective. We're asking God to give us that worldview. We're saying, God, make me like that. I want to be a worshiper. Make me want to be a worshiper. And then make me want that some more. Lord, incite me to do what I was created to do. The reason I exist is to exalt you in everything, at every time. And so, God, move powerfully by your Holy Spirit in my heart and mind and life. So that at every moment and in everything, I ask myself the question, how can I worship God in this? How can I worship God with this? How can I worship God through this? And you will find that as God answers that prayer, your life will be filled with unceasing prayer. You will learn to just pray all the time. And you will begin to taste the glory of the eternal heavenly worship towards which he is lifting you up. As God answers this prayer, you will find yourself praying more deeply and more often. In every moment, in every detail, in every thought, in every word, in every action, those will begin to resonate with eternal glory so that your life will be a prayer of praise aligned with the worship of heaven as you say together with the angels and the elders and the four living creatures in Revelation chapter 7, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.